All right, everybody ready to go? Good morning to everybody. Glad to have you here back from last week or new. Let me, in fact, ask how many of you are coming for the first time this week, had to miss last week? Raise your hand. If anybody wants to help her, that'd be great. And by the way, if you don't get one because we have run out, if that be the case, you can go on perimeter.org/express. And you can find it there now, so you can at least have it electronically, even though you won't be able to take notes on it. But apologies that we've run out if we have, all right? Also, while this is taking place, keep your note on the screen. We've got, we want everyone who is going through this to register. And if you will, just simply text to express 678-929-4050 to check in, all right? So if you'll please do that. And then each week, we're having this available by Wednesday. This week it came out on Tuesday. Yeah, can you bring it out every week, back every week? What we've given out is the whole time, so there's not anything new. There's going to be new coming in after, when we get back to the fall segment. There's going to be a lot of handouts handed out that will be added to what you have. So I encourage you to get a three-ring binder like I've got or something so it, you can just keep adding as we go week to week. All right? So, but if you will, be sure and know that this is available if you have to miss. We understand people have to miss over the, you know, this period of time. So you can pick it up. At least by Wednesday. I think this week it got up a little early on Tuesday, but you can get the audio version. This is being videotaped for usage afterwards, so there'll be video opportunity. But I highly, highly, highly encourage you that particularly after this next week, that you don't just say, I'm going to take this course online. I'll do it by myself every week. If you have to, understandable. But you will see why you will not learn near as well if you just choose to take it by audio and don't show up when we get to the fall time, all right? So very important to keep that in mind. A few other things before we actually get started. Let me review the schedule so you understand how the schedule works. This spring, we're in now for 3 weeks what I would call foundations for making disciples. So this is foundations. We have the 3 weeks, last week, this week, and now next Sunday, which will conclude 3 weeks of teaching foundations. And I cannot imagine, knowing what's coming, that you would benefit near as well without the foundations. You need to get these first. So that will be very important. What we're going to do then is we have Easter the next week. And the following 4 weeks, we begin Investigative Forum. If you're not aware what that is, it's an opportunity for me to model for you. It's not the only reason we do it, but we're going to use it as an opportunity to model for you what I'm going to be teaching you to do when we come to the fall. So, very important. We hope you'll come to Investigative Forum. Don't miss worship in order to go to IF, but that's where we bring our friends. I'll talk a little bit more about this in a few minutes, but that's where we bring our friends and so forth and let them be exposed to the real faith. I'll mention that a few minutes later. So that's our Investigative Forum. Hope you'll be there. That's April 7, 14, 21, and 28. Then we have 1 week we'll come back. It may be in this room. It may be another place. So we've got you registered, so we'll let you know. We would love to have you come back for that. That's going to be a debriefing about Investigative Forum. And by the way, I'm going to do 3 weeks. I'm going to be out 1 week, and Jeff is going to do it the other week. So we'll kind of team on this. And so I hope you'll be a part of that and come to IF and then come to the week following. And that week following is May 5, so that's when we will do the debriefing. There'll be Q&A and all kind of things going on. I'll be there for that. Then we come back to the fall. And at fall, just for your note, we begin back in September the 8th. And from September the 8th through November the 24th, We'll be meeting and not know yet what venue we'll be using, but we will be back for the fall. During that time, so you'll understand what we're going to be doing, we will first start with tools for making disciples. And we will walk through introductory tools. We'll go through one primary tool that's very important. We're going to then go through support tools, six or seven support tools. And then we conclude with follow-up tools. So all these tools, very, very important. Once we finish the tools, we go straight in that same period in the during the fall to what I call answers for making disciples. This is where it gets fun. Because during this time, we talk about answers to seekers' most difficult questions. And that's where I'm going to not only give you the answers to the questions that non-believers are asking, I'm going to work with you to equip us so that in a very short answering, you could actually give the answer to those eight questions. And those eight questions are the hardest ones you can imagine. They're the ones that I bring up if they don't bring it up, but they're the heart of my discussions with lost people all the time. And once they get that, they go, wow, that's very, very helpful. So, and then at the same time, we'll be working through answers to what I would call the gospel's most important questions. And so you'll understand what that is when we get there, but it's a lot of fun. So we'll go through all, some of the hardest things to make sure, or some of those important things to make sure we understand the answers when they are going through the gospel, and you'll see how we do that once we come to that primary tool. Okay? So a lot of unknown to you, but just enough to stir your interest and so forth for what's coming up, and that you'll be hopefully a part of that. You can take your handout now for Foundations. Has everybody got a copy that needed it? All right. So now that we are here in our second session, and in this next session, we want to review quickly so you'll know where we're coming from, and then we're going to jump right into the content. We first talked about three foundational questions. What is the gospel? Who is a disciple? And when is one made? And then third one was, how does everyone, or does everyone who sincerely invites Jesus into their life truly become a Christian? So after dealing with that, we said, let's talk about three missional strategies. And this is what we ended with. We talked about greet, befriend, and invite. Those are our three strategies. I'm not going to review them. Go back and listen if you missed it. But that is your strategy. It's my strategy. It's virtually everybody's strategy, whether they know it or not, if they're going to do it. But I'll say this, if they don't have a strategy, they probably are not going to do it. And if they are doing it, they're probably using some version of these words, just used different ways. Greet, befriend, and invite. And when we ended with invite in our last session, when we ended that with that, I then made the comment, invite to what? And I said, I'll tell you today what we're going to invite them to. And there are going to be three things that we want to invite them to. And that's going to cover the first two of three harvest prerequisites. So once we get into those harvest prerequisites, you're going to find that it's going to be very, very helpful. I say this to you. I've given this, I don't know, hundreds of times maybe that I've walked through this with people. And I have to say, it's what you're going to find in session three that will be the aha, and it'll be the part that I believe you will find to be the most interesting of everything you're going to hear during these 3 weeks. So, and I don't say that just because I'm afraid you're not going to come back next week. I'm saying that because I'm afraid you're not going to come back next week. All right? So it really is, and I mean it truthfully, though. It is. It really will be the part, I think, that's going to bring it all together for you. So that's what's upcoming. Let's now jump into the material for this particular session two. All right, so we've come to the place, we've greeted people. We've met them now. We have now tried to befriend them. Hopefully we're trying to love them is what we're doing by seeking what they want to talk about, interacting upon who they are, just enjoying the relationship and building it. And then we say, maybe it's time now to give them an invitation. We can give them invitations that will make them smile and thank you and appreciate you for what you do, or we could give them an invitation that would make them offended, where they'd say, I can't believe you're doing this. I see where you're coming from. We don't want that to happen. So I ended the last session, as you know, talking about how do you know when to make an invitation. Now, after we cover that, now I said today we're going to talk about what are your invitation options. And I'm going to suggest there are three. I think every Christian should have one great plan for all three of these. I think you're going to see some of us are going to gravitate to one, others to the other, and other maybe to the third, whatever it may be. I will say this, the third option will be the hardest. It'll take the most equipping and training. That's why I'm investing so much time in the fall to make sure that you are equipped well to do it. So that'll be very important. I will say this, though, that the first two are going to be the easiest for you. And it's where we want to start. We don't want to start at the hardest point. We'd rather start at the easiest point. So what are these three? Here's the first one. We invite them to read something. You give them something to read. You give them a gift. Hey, I'd like to offer this to you. Now, we can figure out ways to do this, but there will be training in this as we get to the introduction of tools, when we get to tools. And I'll give you 5, 6, 7 different ways that we could say, here's how you can offer it, this is how you can offer this here. We'll go through all that. We'll make it as simple as possible. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to think about this and just see what you would do on your own right now as the next weeks go by until we get to that. So everyone needs a carefully chosen literature to offer people to read. So Frank Barker, I've mentioned his name many times. He's one of the men that mentored me in such a significant way. And Frank Barker had a very, introverted personality. He was not just the gregarious, talk to people, hey, how you doing, how you doing? He was kind of quiet, didn't say much. But he had an impact that was amazing. And I would be with him, and I'd see him just meet somebody. I realize now that he was just greeting for the purpose of being able to be missional. He lived with this sense that, okay, there is one lost sheep. I got a big church, but I'm leaving the 99 to find the one. And I watched that and I said, that's important. Then I noticed that at some point, in some way, he had a little shirt pocket and he'd pull out a little tract. And it was one that was not familiar to anybody. It was, I don't know where he found this particular tract that he used. But he'd hand him that little tract, and he'd say, oh, here, you may want to read this sometime, get a little time. I think you'd find out this would be helpful. And I'd say, what did he say? He'd just say it so low, and it'd be silent. I'd say, speak up, Frank. And the people would look at him and say, oh, okay. And I watched him have fruit from doing that. And I go, that's amazing. Now, I think there would be more fruit then doing that than now doing that, just to hand them a little tract. But I do believe this. When I saw it, I said, that's important, having a literature. And so then what happened is people of our church would come up to me, and they'd say, hey, I need your help, Randy. I've got a brother-in-law. I've got such and such. I've got so-and-so, and I need to know, what should I give them to read? I need to give them something to read. And I didn't know what to give them. I'd go, well, I don't know your friend. Introverted, extroverted, kind of one that wants to get after and talk a little bit and interact with it. Let me ask you this. Is it somebody who is moralistic or immoral? Is it somebody who's religious or is it somebody who's irreligious? And then I have to think through, are they a reader or are they a non-reader? And then I try to think, okay, what would I, and that was hard. And then, Particularly one man in this church, but some others as well, came to me and said, why don't you write? You're meeting with people all the time, over lunch, trying to help them investigate Christianity. Can you not pull together the things that you're finding that whet their appetite, make them want to pursue further investigating Christianity or whatever? And I said, okay, I'll do it. Never having any idea that it would turn out what it is, it's a little book called The Answer. It's a very brief book if you're not familiar with it. I think it's about 100 pages. There are small pages, big margins. Even men will read it. So I thought, okay, this might be it. And I put the things that I find really cause somebody to say, ooh, yeah, maybe. Next thing you know, now these many years later, I think we've printed over 60,000 copies of it. It's not in any bookstore in America that I know of. You can get it on Amazon. But I'll say this, it's just our people in this church using it. And it has been amazing to watch what's happened. I noticed this, that when I give the book away, people say, well, that's easy because you wrote it. No, it makes it harder for me. I feel embarrassed that I'm handing them something that I wrote. But regardless, the stories that I've had, the stories that other people have had, they are amazing. The impact, also, you will be surprised. And it's not just this literature, it's giving them a literature if it's a good one. It doesn't have to be the one that we have. But this thing called The Answer is short enough, quick enough, easy enough, and it throws them into the idea of, I need to investigate Jesus before I die. That's the hope of that book. Now, I remember years ago, my oldest daughter left high school and went on a ship overseas for a year, and it was a ship called the Dulas. It was a floating bookstore, and they went to the countries, particularly closed countries, hard to get to, poor countries, and so forth, literally all the way around the world. And they'd stop port after port after port and had a literature ministry. On one particular occasion, she brought back to us, after she came back, she brought back for us a cassette tape. Young people don't know what that is, but anyway, a cassette tape. And it was of one of their speakers that they would have come on board to lead devotions. And when they led the devotions, this is what they would basically talk about, this, that, or the other, just to encourage this young staff of young people that are going around the world doing this and so forth. And this one person happened to be an international speaker, Christian leader. And he shared with them, and Rachel actually brought home for us the copy of this where we could listen to it. And this leading Christian, whoever, he said, everywhere I go, I'd always ask the people who were the Christian leaders wherever I was. I'd say, let me ask you a question. How'd you come to faith? And I heard on multiple occasions, different people I'd ask in different countries, different places, I would hear them say, well, it was in Australia. It was on a street corner. I was walking by. I was a sailor, and I'd ported there, and I'd walking by. And this man was out there holding out tracts and saying, here. And I took it and didn't have much thought. Later, I read that tract, and I actually came to faith. Heard that over and over multiple times. And so finally, he said, next time in Australia, they mentioned which street corner it was. And so I'm going to go ask. So went to that street corner, started asking people, have you seen a man here in the years past that would hand out tracts? And nobody did until finally one person said, oh, yeah. He lives upstairs. He used to. He was a tailor that was in this shop down here. He's no longer there, but I know he used to live up above it. I don't know if he's still there. So he goes up above. He knocks on the door. An elderly lady comes to the door, and he says, hi, is your husband by any chance a tailor that would work downstairs? Yes. Could I meet with him? Well, he's very elderly. He's in his room, but I'll take you back to meet him. Goes back to meet him. Begins to talk to him and says, I'm here because I've been places around the world who have pointed back to you handing tracts out on the corner here. Tell me about that. And he said, well, I wasn't very talented in speaking, and I wasn't very this, that, and the other, but he said, I had a tailor shop, and I thought, you know, at least I could give the Lord my lunch break. And so for my lunch, every day for years, I went out on that corner, and I just handed out tracts. Just handed out tracts. When he said that, the evangelist or the teacher or whatever, the man that was sharing this, he said, he looked at him, he said, you know, I have been all around the world, and I've met numerous people who've come to faith because of your ministry on that corner. And he said, the old man started to cry. And then he said, out of all of my years, I told the Lord, I'll give you my best. This is all I've got. But he said, I've never heard of one person ever coming to faith through handing out that literature. You know, that made an impression on me. I said, you know, one thing I can do, I'm an introvert, and I can even go beyond, and I can talk to people. I can do that. But you know what I want to do? I'm going to carry a literature with me everywhere I go. If you look in my golf bag, I've got a piece of literature. I use the answer. Do you see me? I've got one in my briefcase. I'm constantly carrying it around and saying, God, if you'll give me an opportunity, I can at least say, hey, you may find this to be of interest. Maybe I'll get a little time to greet and befriend on a plane. I'll say, hey, got a little something. Right as we land sometimes, I'll say, I got a little something here for you. You may not want it. If you don't, that's fine. But I'd love for you to take it and look at it. You know, the fruit that's come from that in this church, I wish I had time to tell you all the stories. I'll tell you just a couple. One was a few years ago. One of our, very national business leader was connecting with CEOs of companies all over the globe, really, but particularly in the United States. And he told me, he said, Randy, one Christmas I bought 10 copies of The Answer. I wrote a little note in the front. I sent it to 10 different CEOs that I knew and just said, Merry Christmas. This has been a blessing to me. Hope you enjoy it if you choose to read it, and something like that. He said 9 of the 10 contacted him and said, that book helped me. Someone said, can I come in and talk to you next time I'm in Atlanta? Said the impact, said it was just amazing. Well, that was a long time ago. Within the last 2 weeks, I had a couple of opportunities where I had two friends pass away that were classmates of mine. And in one of them, I met one of our classmates that I had not seen in 50 years. And it happened to be that I just befriended him, just said hi. He was a man that did not walk with the Lord when I knew him, I'll assure you that. Neither of these two men were. But this first one, nothing but just, hey, I'd love to meet with you sometime. We have to get together sometime. Where do you live? Well, I live halfway between Atlanta and Birmingham. I'm in the little community, da-da-da. And I said, well, I go to Birmingham a lot. Maybe I can swing by sometime. I'll call you. So about 2 or 3 weeks later, I was going to Birmingham. I called him. We had lunch together, and when we did, all I had to do at the very end was say, would you like a little book? And he said, I would love that. He said, in fact, what you're talking about, I'm getting old. All our friends are dying. I'm going to die soon. This is what I need right here. And I said, well, why don't you read it? And the next time I come through Birmingham, I'll swing by again. We'll talk about it. He said, I would love that. I got that coming up in a few weeks. We'll see what happens. Another person, a friend from many, many years first grade up, went through high school and college with him. And I saw him at a funeral that I was doing. One of our classmates. You know, all I had to do was say to him, you know, I'd love to get with you sometime. Next time in Birmingham, I'd love to grab lunch. He said, let's do that. I would love to do that. So about 2 weeks ago, we had lunch. A week and a half ago, we had lunch. We're sitting there. We talked for 2.5 hours, and we talked about childhood and this, that, and the other. And I'm saying, Lord, if you'll give me an opportunity, I'd love to at least offer him the answer. And so at the very end, nothing had really come up, and I couldn't find the right way, so I just said, hey, love to give you a little book. It's called The Answer. We talked about The Answer for a few minutes, and that opened up a little conversation about spiritual things that went on for probably 30 minutes. Just a conversation. Do you know what happened? He looked across the table at me, and I said, I got to get out of here. I got a meeting in just a few minutes. I'm going to have to get going. He looked on and he said, you're good. And I said, what do you mean? He said, that was really good of you to bring this subject up and talk to me. That was very, very important to me. I'd like to pursue this further. So when I gave him the answer, he said he'd read it. And I said, if you want to get back together, I'd be happy to meet with you and talk about it. He said, I'd love to do that. And this is the text he just sent me. Finished the answer. A lot of questions and a lot of further conversations upcoming. Love the book. I've got an opportunity to share with a friend that I haven't seen since the first grade. I mean, since college. I get an opportunity, and I think how easy that would have been just to miss that. Just, okay, how you doing? Good to hear from you. You might think I'm crazy. You know, I'm a preacher, and I don't want to. Folks, this is what I want to see us do. I mean, I tell you this. I'm looking at you as an army, and I'm saying we got an army here. Jesus had a dozen people. I was talking to one of my friends, Alan, over here. We were talking about this after last week. We were talking about, think about it. We got Jesus had just a few disciples, and in 80 generations or so forth, look at the people all around the world. I think, what if we got 400 and some odd people here saying, I'm going to be very, very conscientious about just giving it a shot. If all we did was hand out literature like that man, how good would that be? Last story. We had a man, somebody who shared with me just this last week, about a week ago, week and a half, I don't know. And they said, hey, you'll love this story. At the end of the service, Jeff or somebody will say, hey, turn and greet the people around you. And so I just did. That's all I did. It was a lady next to me, and this was a woman who was speaking. So there was a woman next to me and her husband. And I said, hi, and just introduced myself and just asked, how long have you been at Perimeter? And they said, well, you know, we're brand new to Perimeter. In fact, we just finished the membership class. I said, oh, that's great. And what brought you here? This is what she said. My husband and I are not believers. When this happened, just a while back, I go out on my front door, and they're sitting on the porch right in front of me. There's a book called The Answer. To this day, I don't know who gave it to me. I don't know who left it there. I don't know why they left it there. And I took that little book and I read it. And God did something in my heart. And I gave it to my husband. God did something to him. We said, we need to go to church. Look to the back. Okay, there's a big guy. He said, well, it's not very far. We can go to the church here. And they came to Perimeter, joining Perimeter Church as new believers. I mean, do you understand how easy it could be? So I'm going to leave you with a challenge. I'm going to give you the challenge that I gave. I'm going to tweak it a little bit. That I give every year to my guys and my journey group, the guys that I'm discipling. I want to help them become missional. I know I can feed them all day long and year long, 2 years, and I can feed them big and they get fat and don't go anywhere. But if I can get them missional, watch out. Here they go. They grow strong. And so what do? I say, we're going to do this, and we're going to start easy. Let's give away the answer. So let's all buy 10 copies, and let's give one per month away, and let's spend our time together just talking each week to week. Let's talk about any opportunities we've had and what God's doing by using the answer. Some of you could start that right now in your groups. Be amazed what can happen. I will say this. This is a bit of a parenthesis to the training to anyone else that's getting this, so we'll edit this out. But we're going to give you an opportunity to purchase the answer. And anytime I ever say purchase something, something goes ugly in me. I don't like that. Because, oh, they're after money. This has zero to do with money. In fact, the answer sells for $10.99. Amazon or wherever. We give a 10% discount for $10. You get it at our bookstore. But we have been doing something for a while now, saying we'll give you at $5 a book instead of 11 or 10. We'll give them to you at $5 if you buy them in bulk. And we'd always say 10. Buy them in 10. And then you can take that and you can, you know, try one per month or whatever. Well, that was $50. Well, you got 10 of them. That's pretty cheap. Well, I just found out a week ago that we're having to change things because the cost per book for us was just a little over $1. And what we always did is we take the money that we accrued from that, from the profits, and what we do is we put that in to printing new ones. And anything left over went to Life on Life Ministries. It doesn't come to me, it goes to Life on Life Ministries. Well, it's now gone up, this last printing went up to $4 and something. That's how high it's gone. And so you can imagine how now we can't just do that and give, you know, literally we're giving thousands away at low prices. And so we found out we're going to have to change that. And so what I have asked and what we're going to be able to do is for through this time for our church, we're going to keep the $5, but it's going to go up to $10 a book. That's just what we need to do to keep printing them and so forth. And we've got them back here. I've asked my wife and my daughter to help distribute them back there to be able to purchase if you would buy them. If you can, get five. We got them in little packs of five. If you want just one, you can get one. But we'll do that, you know, $5. That's all we do, okay? In fact, I think what we're supposed to do is if it's one, you pay 10. But if you any five or more, there'll be $5 a piece, all right? I'm going to hope you do it, and it's not. If you think this is for money, there ain't no money there. So don't think that, all right? I want to see you get a tool in your hand quickly. And I want to see something happen until the fall and watch what's going on. So if you do that, I know it may be rushed back there at the end. You got to leave. We'll do it next week as well. And you can come early and do it. They'll have more time then. Come early or come late. But it's going to be there. And we'll be there to help. Our Carol and my daughter will be back there to help. Okay? So enough of that. Let's go to invitation number two, option number two. The next one is to attend. You can invite people to attend something with you. As I always say, anywhere someone can be attractively exposed to God's Word and God's people, that's where you want to invite them. If you can, invite them. It can be a home outreach Bible study. It can be a service project to be around Christians. It can be, there are a lot of different ways to do that. But we at our church, we do something unique. It's called Investigative Forum. And as I mentioned, this is a part of your opportunity in our church to be able to come and watch what happens. Bring a non-Christian, it'll be all the more engaging for you. But if you don't have a non-Christian to bring, fine. Come, it's a part of this class. Okay, we'll debrief it the last week, after the last week. So what do? Well, at the end, we open it up to questions. And people can put on the screen, they can email a question that hits the screen. They can text a question that hits the screen. They can have a mic and say it right there in front of everybody, which I think is the best. And any question goes. And I'm telling you, it's from Muslims, it's to atheists, it's to who knows what you're going to hear from those questions. And it's just take the questions. And that's what we're going to learn a lot from the final week after it's over, because we're going to debrief on some of those things. But I hope you'll be a part of that, okay? We had one man that got up, and he raised his question. He said, let me just get this straight. My father was the finest man I've ever met. I mean, the finest. and he just died. If you'd ask him right before he died, was he a Christian? He'd say, no, I'm not a Christian. There was no pretense about it. And he said, so from what I'm hearing from you, I'm going to assume that somebody who becomes a Christian, like you say, the minute before he dies, he's in heaven. Right? If that man was a serial murderer, and he named all the bad, then you're saying he's in heaven. But my father, who is the best man I've ever met, and he'd say he's not a Christian, and you're going to tell me he's in hell right now. Would you explain that one to me? How would you like to be holding the mic when that question comes? Most people wouldn't, except I had an answer. I knew what to say to that. I'm going to help you learn what to say to that. But you know, that man came to faith at 58 years of age. He came to faith, joined our church. Answers are important, but we have to know how to give them the answers. But we can bring them to places where they can get answers. So I would encourage you, use this opportunity at if not, come and we'll learn out how to do that. I love there's one volunteer every year. He works at Investigative Forum and he keeps coming up and saying to me, you know, I came to Christ here in if. That's how I met Jesus. That's why I serve here every year. I love being here to serve because this is where I got it. So, all right. The third invitational option is to investigate. You can say, hey, I'd like to help you investigate Christianity. Well, how do you get there? Well, you're not going to know how to get there yet, but I'm going to give you some tools that are going to get you to the point you can have them say, I would like to investigate. There we need to be prepared. That's where we use these that we call life issue booklets. If you're not familiar with them, they're available in the back, and they're just the same as in the bookstore, $10. And by the way, I was asked to tell you, the bookstore, you can't go there to get the $5, you know, per. But these, same there, here. If you want to get some copies, we've got them back here for $10 for the packet of four. And they're the life issue books. Is the Bible God's word? Do non-Christians really deserve eternal punishment? Is Jesus the only way to God? And what would Jesus say is required to have eternal life? And you'll see how I'd love for you to have a copy of these, whether you get them here or the bookstore or whatever, and read through them over the next weeks. And you're going to see I'm going to deal with all four of those questions in Investigative Forum. I will actually lead with those questions. So love to have you connect with that if you would be interested to do so. All right? So that's the idea of bringing people to the idea where they would want to investigate, and you will commit to 4 weeks of meeting with them, and I will train you exactly what to do in every single meeting if you choose to come to the future training. Is that all right? All right, let's see if we can now catch these two harvest principles of the three, and then next week we'll hit the third and final harvest principle. But the first is a kingdom-focused mindset. What I'm saying here is that if you want to see people come to faith, then it's gonna happen if you've got three prerequisites. If you don't have these three prerequisites, I will promise you, you will go into eternity and will never share your faith with somebody. It is just almost for sure. Now, if you embrace these three prerequisites, I can't imagine how you'll end up one day entering into eternity without saying, hey, I didn't lead many people to Christ maybe, but I sure shared my faith. I shared my faith. So what's the first prerequisite? It is a kingdom-focused mindset. All right? So let's walk through a few of the aspects to understand the mindset. I've got to believe a certain way. Here it is. Number one, a mindset which views being a faithful witness as a life or death issue. Do you know in John Calvin's day in his seminary, when he was preparing church planters to go into France where the persecution was happening so horribly, do you know they knew that when they graduated, the average person would go church planting and would die within 6 months? The anticipated death rate, 6 months. But people kept coming to the seminary to prepare to go out and do it. That's a mindset that says, better that I die than that the church never gets born. When the individual Christian begins to say, better that I get embarrassed, better that I get humiliated, better that I, which these aren't going to happen probably, but if they did, better that that happen than me to remain silent and then never hear the good news of Jesus. So why wouldn't I say, let's go? You know, the early American missionaries, you know the stories. They would ship their goods overseas in their own caskets, knowing that they'll probably never see their family again, never return home. It's a one-way ticket. That would be it. You see, I'm really wondering today, maybe you feel the same way. Do you think people really believe that when people perish, they go to hell? Let me tell you, I've gone to two groups just a few years ago. I went to two different groups in this church, men's groups, Christians, good people. Sit under the teaching of God's word here, year after year. And I said, would you do me a favor? Would you write down on a card? I was their guest. I just went in and said, would you write down on a card five reasons that you think we should share our faith? At least three, but as many as up to five. And they did. And they were all good reasons, very good reasons. But it broke my heart when I realized not one person put on their list, because people perish eternally without Jesus. Now, add to that the fact that of the many years that I've been the pastor of this church, I don't know how many people that I've had to console and talk to, at least as I meet them and see them, oh, I heard your father passed away. I am so sorry, whatever. And they say, well, thank you, Randy. I understand. But you know what? People were so fine and good. But it was the best thing that actually could happen. Oh, really? Yeah, it was cancer, and it was so painful. It was horrible to watch the end of his life. And we were just glad that he finally got out of pain. Well, when I hear that from a believer, I've got to assume that parent was a Christian, so I'll say, oh, your dad a believer, huh? And I've actually heard this. Never saw any indication of it. Never, he wouldn't have said he was, but I would certainly hope something would happen, maybe at the end, I don't know, didn't see anything. And I'm wanting to scream out. I don't. I just say, I'm so sorry. I mean, I'm trying to pastor the person. But I'm thinking, are you kidding me? Do you think they're better off not suffering here than suffering there in an eternal hell? I just don't know if we really believe it. We've kind of, oh, yeah, there's that. Yeah, I believe it. But we really don't. This is what I'm talking about, a mindset. Number two, a mindset which views making disciples as non-optional for obedient believers. In other words, if we're going to have the right mindset, we've got to take Matthew 28, 19, and 20 to heart, where it's an imperative. Literally, it's the imperative mood. It says, go and make disciples of all nations. Go and do it. It's a mandate. And without that idea that my Savior that I love has given me a mandate, not a request, not a hope, but saying, this is what you must do, I got to take it at heart. So that would be number two. Number three, fall down the list here. A mindset which believes it is possible for any believer to be fruitful. We say, well, now wait, you don't know me. I don't have the gifts. I'm not very articulate. I'm not very this. I'm not very that. I just don't think I can do it. Let me tell you, you've probably got this picture of this flaming evangelist, and you're saying, I'm not that evangelist. Okay, you're not. But you can be that tailor. You can hand the book. You can do whatever. We can all be used of God in some form or fashion. And I don't think it's appropriate to say, hey, what I'm doing is what you've got to do, and you've got to do it the way I do it, and you've got to do it in the same. No. But we have to, as I say, find tools to put around in our tool belt and then go about what's best for us, how we can do it. So very critically important here that we begin to believe, you know, it is possible for me to be fruitful. Maybe not a lot of fruit, but some fruit. And I can certainly be faithful, which is why I'm really doing this. It's up to God whether they come to faith or not. That's not me. But I know this. Jesus said it very clearly in Matthew 4. He said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I will do it." And we say, "Well, I can't." Oh, you're telling me that Jesus can't do that with you? Though he promised that he would be with you, and therefore go and make disciples. So we have to start changing our mindset a bit there. And as we tell ourselves, "I can't," we got to say, "Oh, no, that's a lie. I can. I just don't know how. I just don't have the tools yet. I just don't have this. But I can." And once you cross that bridge, you are halfway home for sure. All right, number four, a mindset which expects God to empower his people for the purpose of making disciples. Now, here we come to the text, Acts 1, verse 8. Many of you know it. "You shall receive power once the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world." That's an interesting verse. You shall receive power. You know that word is the word dunamis in the Greek, and we get the word dynamite from it. It's that explosive power. You shall receive explosive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So you know what we as Christians typically think? Power, good for getting people healed that I want healed and being able to this and being able to that. Well, that can be included to some degree, but notice the verse. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, which now means we can be filled with the Spirit at any time, assuming we appropriate the filling of God's Spirit. But he says, for you to be my witnesses. That's where he empowers us. So I often say to folks, you know, if you really, really want to see power, then pray for and work with non-Christians and watch the power of God come in somebody's life. So, for instance, I met this guy. I don't even know where I met him. But he was a new doctor in town, just arrived in town. Starting his practice, been there a month or two, I forget. And I meet him, and he comes to Perimeter. And not because he's a church person, but he comes to Perimeter. I meet him, and he says, I said, "Well, why don't we get together for lunch sometime?" "Okay, we'll do that." So we meet together for lunch. And so while we're having lunch, sitting there, I just probed a little further, kind of befriending. And I said, "So tell me a little bit about your practice." And he says, "Well, I'm such and such kind of doctor and do this and the other." But he says, "I don't have any patients yet." And I said, "Really, why is that?" "Well, I just moved here. And at that particular point, there was never advertising or anything." And so he said, "I've just got to wait till I make enough friends and meet people and slowly build a, you know, people that I can serve." And I said, "Well, that's great." I said, "So like how many patients will you have in a typical day?" He looked at me and he said, "You didn't hear me, did you? I don't have any patients." I said, "Like today, when you go back this afternoon to your office, you going to be in the office?" "Yeah." You don't have any patients?" He says, "No, I have nobody booked, and I won't see a person. I'll sit there to be there, but that's it." Well, we're about to eat. "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be my witnesses." So I thought, well, I said, "Let me ask you a question. We're about to have our meal here. Would it offend you if I prayed for the meal?" "No." I said, "All right, good. It'll be brief. But I want to do something. You're sure there's nobody going to come see you this week, today?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "What if I prayed and asked God to show his power and let you get a patient today?" He said, "Well, that won't bother me at all." And I said, "Okay, then I'm going to do that." Doesn't mean he has to. It doesn't mean that God doesn't hear, but we don't have because we don't ask. So I'd at least like to ask. He said, "Okay." And I said, "Before I pray, can I ask this? I need to get you started early." And I'm kind of joking, but I said, "Would you give a tenth of it to God so that you at least start your tithing early like that?" And his answer was, he said, "Yeah, well, you know, Randy, a tenth of zero is zero. I have no problems." So With that, I prayed briefly, and we had our meeting, and we're leaving. He says, by the way, I won't be at church this Sunday. My wife's an airline attendant, and so I got two little kids, and no way I'm bringing those kids to church by myself without her. So, no, I'm not going to do that. I said, that's fine. You don't even have to come to church. I mean, I'd love to have you. And, okay, well, so I said, we're going to have lunch again next week, because I was following those little booklets, and I'd already invited him to do that. And he said, okay, I'd like to do it. So I said, okay. So after we prayed, I said goodbye to him. I mean, we ate our meal and went through what I wanted to say about meeting next week. And as I'm leaving, he says, by the way, certainly won't be there for these reasons. And I said, fine, no problem. And so I don't expect to see him. So I'm greeting afterwards, and there's a number of people in front of me that I'm talking to, and I see him holding two little kids in his arms, and he walks by walking sideways where he can get my face as over the shoulders of the people I'm talking to, and he stops, and he says, it works. I said, okay. He said, I'll see you at lunch. I said, okay. So I meet at lunch and said, hey, I'm curious. What were you saying it works? He said, you remember about the patient you were going to pray for? I said, yeah. He said, I'm sitting in my room. I'm looking at reading a golf book or whatever. And he said, I'm just kind of reading through some stuff. And all of a sudden, I hear the little bell from the door. And I went, what is that? Somebody coming to deliver something or what? And he says, I just put my ear out to the door where I could hear. And a lady comes up and says to the receptionist, is the doctor in today? And is by any chance, could he see me? I just drove by and I saw his name. And I've been thinking, I've been needing to see a doctor. And this would be a perfect time for me. Is there any chance? And she said, oh, yes, there's an opportunity. We can work you in. So anyway, he said, I met with her and she paid with cash. She said, nobody pays with cash. But a tenth of it laid right in front of me. I could see that money. And I went, okay, so I had to come to church today to I had to come to church Sunday to turn that money in. You don't think that grabbed his attention? I had an ear now that was much different than I would have had otherwise. Does that happen to me regularly? No more than twice a day? No, it does not. It does not happen to me on a regular basis. But I'll tell you this. God says, hey, I'm giving you power. And it's not so that you can be a reservoir of my power, but you can be a conduit of my power. You want to see power in your life? The prayers don't need to go so much just for people that we know that are hurting physically. When you start praying for people that are hurting spiritually, watch what happens. Which takes us to the next one, which is a mindset which anticipates a correlation between spiritual fruit and fervent prayer. I remember when I was a young Christian, I was sharing my faith routinely, was not being successful at all in terms of seeing fruit. And I went to the guy that was spiritually mentoring me. I was in his discipleship group, and I said, Rick, I don't see any fruit. I'm witnessing, and it's not easy for me, but I'm out there witnessing, but I'm not seeing any fruit. And he looked at me, and it was offensive almost the way he said, well, are you praying about it? And I looked at him, I said, well, yes, I'm praying about it. Of course I'm praying. And then he hit me with this one. He said, no, are you really praying? I said, what's the difference in praying and really praying? And when he told me, I went, I'm not really praying. Because he talked about, you know, to knock and to seek and to come after and begging God and pleading, would you, God? I didn't know how to do that, and I'm not that kind of outward person anyway. And I got down on my knees the first time I could that night or whatever, and I said, Lord, I don't think I've been really, really praying. So I want to pray a little bit better than I have been for these lost people. And so I said, Lord, would you please do that? And I don't know. And then I ramped it up another notch or two. And then I finally found myself kind of mildly screaming, I guess, knowing that it has nothing to do with volume. But was I truly intent? And I said, you know, I began to intensely pray in a way that I would not before. And I started seeing fruit. I remember going and saying, you know what? I think you're right. It's the prayer that has to precede it that's often missing. Many of us will say, I want to witness. I want to be used. But we don't pray like we want to be used. So important. That's why I'm going to say to you at the end, get you a little list of 3 to 5 people. And this is why, right here. And we'll talk about that in a minute when we close. All right, the final one there is a mindset which views missional living as the exercise every Christian needs to become strong in their faith. You see, the physical body, we understand it. It needs two things. It needs healthy food and helpful exercise. Would we agree? Everybody says, that's what you need. Just eat right and exercise well. That's what we need. Well, the spiritual life also needs healthy food, and it needs very helpful exercise. And our spiritual food is the Word of God. You should not live on bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the Father. So, okay, there's our food. And a lot of us here are doing good on our eating. We're in Bible studies, some of us two, some of us three of them. We're in little groups, we're doing this, we're doing that, always trying to learn, listen to podcasts, going to sermons, and we're just gimme, 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 food, 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 food. Well, nothing wrong with that. Unless your abundance of eating is taking away from your time to be able to exercise. Then you want to add the exercise. And here's the great thing, spiritual exercise is missional living. That's what it is. It causes something to happen in us. It creates a hunger for food. But here's what I've interested. Food, good food, does not create an interest to exercise. If I were to say, hey, guys, guess what? We're gonna go out here and we're gonna exercise. But I don't mention that first, let's say. And I say, we got all this buffet of food. It's the best food you can ever imagine. You're going to definitely want to grab this food. Get it now. And you go eat, 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 eat. I don't care if it's healthy food. And you eat and eat and eat, and then I say, okay, now guess what we're going to do? We're going to go out here, and we're going to exercise, and we're going to run, and we're going to exercise, and you go, oh, I can't do that. But you reverse that and say, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go out here and exercise, and we exercise and exercise, and there's food and drink back here, and you're gone. Give it to me. I'm really hungry now. Why? Because you exercised. And that's what I have to say to my guys that I'm discipling. I'm saying, guys, you're not going to get it if you think that by eating and eating and learning and learning and going and going and getting, if you think that's going to make you strong, you're wrong. Is that good for you? Yes, it is. But you have got to exercise. You've got to exercise. And if I want to help you, I've got to help you exercise. And that's what I love to do is I want to help people exercise. That's why I'm urging you. Don't just sit and listen. Exercise. Try to hand that book to somebody or try to invite them to something, whatever you can do. And I just see you here and I say, you are asking for exercise. And that's what I love. We're going to get in shape. And we're going to see some good things happen in a lot of our lives because of doing that. I close with this illustration on this point. Carol and I moved to Atlanta with her, and, 77, whatever, and we had a little apartment we were living in, and we were, we didn't know a soul when we came here. And so a little time had gone by, and I'm not meeting with many people. I'm trying to, but da-da-da, and this, that, and the other. And so one night, I told Carol, as I walked out, I said, Carol, I'm going to be gone for a little while this evening. Where are you going? I'm going to a bar. You're going to a bar. You don't drink. At least, whatever. And I said, no, I'm not going to get a drink. I'm going there because there got to be people there that are looking for something. And I'm dry inside spiritually. I just feel like I've got, my engine is kind of sputtering. And I've got to blow the soot out somehow. And so I remember going up to a bar, never done it before, never done it since. Not that I'm saying it's wrong to be at a bar and I don't want letters and all that. But just the point is, I go up this bar and I order a Coke, and the guy looks at me like, did you come here to get a Coke? Yeah, I did. Why did you come here to get a Coke? I felt like here I could find somebody to talk to. I'll talk to you. What's the deal? And I get to share my faith with him. I didn't convert him. God didn't convert him. I certainly never could. But you know what? I came home singing. I had a delight. I had a step, kind of a new energy. There's just something happened when I shared my faith. And there are a lot of Christians, they don't even know what it feels like to have that soot blown out. They don't even know what could be. Yeah, I've got a lot of energy. Not till they, and then you go, wow, I thought I did, but now I see what I entered. This is some real energy. It happens by being missional. Okay? Now, the second and final one today that we're going to look at is a frequently visited workshop. A frequently visited workshop. So I'm just going to make 2 points and then wrap her up and give you a kind of assignment as we leave. So you got your mindset now. Now you got to have a workshop. Where are you gonna do your work? Where are you going to be a witness? We've got to figure that out. And so I'm going to suggest it's going to be where you live, where you work, or where you play. That's basically our big three options. And I'll just try it right here. I'm going to ask you by raise of hand. If you would say, if I had to pick one place that I would probably be more fruitful, will it be in your neighborhood where you live or in your apartment where you live and among the people, right where you live, where you stay night after night, spend the night, wherever, would it be that place? Or would it be at your office or with the people you're meeting at work or wherever you work and however you work? Or would it be somewhere where you exercise or you play out tennis or you do this? I don't know. But everybody would probably say, this would be my probably best place, all right? And we're going to see how diverse this is. So just one of them. You can't raise but one of them. If you had to pick one, how many would say where you live? Raise your hand. All right, quite a bit of hands. How about where you work? Raise your hands. Okay, about the same number. How about where you play? I think we're about a third, 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 if you look around. I think that would be pretty fair. Isn't it amazing how God strategically has us plan to find all these different avenues to go? And what are churches doing? Churches are missing it totally, saying, here's how we build the kingdom. Bring people to the church. Bring people to the church. And I say, yeah, oh, that's good, bring people to church. But I'll tell you, the way we're going to really impact, a lot of people are not going to come to church. And by the way, it's not going to be personalized then either. So you know what we're going to do? We're going to go out right where we are every day among the people we're with every day who we have an opportunity that no one else has, and we're going to share our faith with them. That becomes powerful. That's the way you change a community. You change a culture. You change a lot because you've got people spread out all throughout the world. You know, I'm going to encourage you to get a target group. I call it a target group. And people say, I don't like that target, that word target. It looks like you're targeting them. I said, that's why I call it a target group. I don't care what you call it, but write a list of people that you're going to be praying for saying, God, these are people that I think if I were to greet and befriend and invite, once I learn how to invite a little bit more effectively, then these are the people I would love to see come to faith. I want to make sure that they don't end up dying without hearing about the gospel, that it wasn't because I didn't do it. I want to have a plan to do that. You know, I think God works supernaturally in that way too. Not for everybody in the same way, but I had a great story. My story was that when I moved to Atlanta, I didn't know anybody. I didn't have any connections with anybody. And so, you know, I saw that the Atlanta community was full of tennis players. It was the largest tennis community in the country. About 60,000, I think I heard then, that were on teams, you know, and apartment teams or neighborhood or whatever. And I said, I want to learn to play tennis. I want to be good enough that I could talk to just about anybody, you know, and at least have a decent game. And so I took it up with vengeance. And I said, I want to use this as a tool. This is going to be my tool. And, you know, I get a few little opportunities, but the problem was I just didn't get enough opportunities, didn't have people to connect with, and I didn't have a club, didn't have anything, so I didn't know how to do that. And so one particular, I started praying. I said, God, you're going to have to give me an open door into where I want to play. I want to exercise, I want to do stuff, this is a good venue, so I need you to open the door for me, and of course, and started praying that. Well, you here would know Peachtree World of Tennis at that time, still, it's now changed, I think, but Peachtree World of Tennis was probably the nicest indoor-outdoor facility around. And I'm just trying to find a court somewhere, you know, a county court or a city court or whatever, and play and meet somebody. It was not good. And so I'm praying, Lord, you give me an opportunity to do this. Well, this man in our church came to me and he said, Randy, I'm moving out of town. The church has meant the world to me, and I want to give you a gift. And I thought, that is a wonderful idea for all people who leave our church. Now, actually, I thought, what is that? And he said, well, the gift is this. I want to give you the gift of prayer. I said, give me a gift of prayer. No, I'm going to give you the gift of me praying for you. I said, well, that's a wonderful gift. Well, he said, I'm going to do something specific. I'm going to pray that God would give you something you really, really want, and something that you could never get outside of God providing it. And you have got to pray for it, and I'll pray for it, but we don't tell a soul that we're praying for it. It's okay? So here's the deal. We're going to, you figure out what it is. And I said, I can tell you what it is right now. I want an opportunity to be a member at Peachtree World of Tennis. I don't have the money to do it. And if I had the money to do it as a preacher, I'd be criticized for having the money to be able to do it. So I can't win either way. But if somebody gave it to me, that's a different deal. He said, all right, you and I will pray for that. So we're praying for it. Not very long goes by. A man in our church, dying of cancer, does not have long to live, calls me and he says, I'd like to meet with you. And he said, I know you're loving tennis. I know you're trying to reach people for tennis. Well, I believe I belong to Peachtree World of Tennis. I didn't even know he was a tennis player. He said, and I was going to sell my membership. And then I thought, why would I do that? Why don't I just buy it out and have it paid up for you for life? No, nothing. No dues, no nothing. Would you like that? I said, I would love that. But did you hear that another guy and I were praying? He said, no. He was thrilled to see he was being used as a part of answer to prayer. So I get this membership there. Well, I don't know a soul, so I take my racket and I park and I go down there when I want to play, and they're going out to play, and I kind of held my racket. Okay, never mind. Would you like? Okay, well, never mind. And I don't know how to do this. I'm an introvert, you know. And I go home and tell Carol, I said, I don't know if I'll ever get to play out here. I don't know how to get connected. Well, I'm talking to one person and said, did I hear you're a member at Peachtree World of Tennis? I said, yes, but it was a gift, I promise. No. And he said, no, I'm glad. The head pro is a friend of mine, and he needs Jesus. Would you kind of focus to try to help him? I said, I got me somebody to put on my target list now. I had my target list just the name of the Peachtree World of Tennis. Now I had a person, and I started praying for him. Do you know, I don't know if it was the next time or the next or the next, but it was very soon. I park out there, and that pro parks right next to me at the same minute. He gets out, and I turn around, and I said, wow, Lord, this is an opportunity. I got to say. So I go, and I greet. And I say, hi, I'm Randy. And he said, hi, I'm so-and-so. And I said, hey, I'm a new member out here, just trying to meet some people. I just thought I'd love to. I'm a friend of so-and-so, and he mentioned your name. And he said, I ought to meet you sometime. Thought maybe we could grab lunch sometime or, you know, play tennis or whatever. And he said, well, that'd be fine. But he said, you know what I'd really love? What I'd really love is, I would love to get in one of your early morning men's Bible studies I've heard about. I said, do you know who I am? He said, oh, everybody knows a preacher has joined out here now. That's what I live with. Anyway, I said, well, I'd be happy to put you in one of the studies, but I tell you, what if we started one out here? He said, would you lead it? I said, yeah. He said, I'll bring my buddies. Let me tell you, they need God. I can tell you that. Just like I do. So he said, I'll have food and the room and everything if you'll just show up and do it. So sure enough, here's this group of people. And I start this little Bible study. Do you know that was in mid-80s? Do you know that study still goes on today? Do you know how many people have come to faith through that group? I can't even tell you how many. I mean... where did it start? It started praying, just saying, Lord, would you give me, you know? And that guy offering me that prayer as a gift. One lady, after I shared that story in a group, she came up to me and said, Pastor, while you were speaking, I just I just heard from the Lord. I know what he wants me to do. And I said, what? He wants me to start a potty training class. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to laugh. I said, this lady, what's she? I said, no, listen, what I do. Everybody's my age, trying to potty train their kids. And so I just have a little class and bring them in and let them, you know, hear this and that and the other. And then I'll share the gospel at the end. Do you know, she said, for long it was like we had, these people said, well, we have twins. Can we have another class? And well, we have strong-willed kids. Can we have one for strong-willed kids? Said, we got this little university of potty training going on now. And I think she said how many people, it was like dozens and dozens and dozens of people had come to faith by doing that. You never know, but you got to be intentional. The last little piece here, and I close with a story. Not just workshops which are chosen with kingdom intentionality. That's what we just talked about. But workshops which are visited routinely. So I was moving from college after the next summer to start seminary. I had a discipleship group in college. And these guys were guys that I was, you know, ministering to and helping and so forth. And I'm on now graduate. They're a year behind me. And I said, hey, I'm going to go right through here to get to my seminary. And you'll already start school before me. What if we have one meeting before school starts? Well, I meet with them, and I said, one prayer request after our little meeting. Would you ask as I get to seminary that I don't get focused just on studies in such a way that I forget to be missional? Would you pray that God would give me 5 people that I can invest my life in and through them minister to other people and reach people? They said they would do that. One of the guys said, hey, my best friend was a quarterback at Mississippi College campus. And he'd think he's a Christian, but I don't think he is. I said, sure, so what do I do? I said, Lord, I'm going to give you every Monday night, because we didn't have classes on Monday. I said, I'm going to give every Monday night, I'm going to go to the campus, and I'm going to try to share my faith with people. So I took Monday night, promised the Lord I'd do that, and I go there, and so I got the dorm that the athletes lived in, which I knew, got the guy's name, and I said, I'll go find this fellow. So I go to the door and knock, and nobody answers. I said, what do I do now? The place was like a ghost town. Nobody was walking through the halls. And I said, well, Lord, I told you I'd do something every Monday night, and I don't know what to do. So I stood there for an hour or so and finally went home. I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I saw a few people, but I just didn't want to say hi to them. I felt weird, so I don't know. But Lord, next week, I'm going to do it. So next Monday night, I go out and do the same thing. Next Monday night, I do the same thing. Now people are walking by looking at me going, who is this crazy guy here in the hall? But nobody was ever at the door, and I just stand at his door waiting, you know. I thought, where is everybody? Well, then somebody walks by finally, and this is like 3 or 4 nights I've gone there, nearly a month. And this guy walks by, and he says, I keep seeing you standing here. What are you standing here for? Are you looking for somebody? I said, yeah, I'm looking for Mac. Our quarterback, Mac? Yeah. Oh, he's in the hospital. He got hurt Saturday in the game. He's in the hospital down at that general hospital. I went, yay. It's not really yay. I mean, but I can get to him now. So anyway, I didn't say that, but I go to the hospital. And just a cold visit in the hospital, he and his fiance were there, and I got to lead him to Christ. It led to an opportunity to talk, and he said, here, I thought I was a Christian. How many of my friends are there? Would you come? I'm the president of FCA. Would you come and would you talk to us? Well, I said I would. And 5 guys walked up to me after the meeting. And they said, would you start meeting with us to understand Christianity? One was the guy that stopped, that said, hey, are you looking for somebody? Do you know that he ended up going to the same seminary I went to after he came to faith, and he's in full-time Christian work now. One is one of the tackles, and he's a Baptist pastor now, and I kind of didn't do real well with him, obviously. But everyone, it was just an amazing story of what God did. But here's what you need to hear in closing. Before I got to the hospital, before I saw him there, while I'm in the middle, I found out why nobody was out public. Monday night football. I never even put it together. They were in the TV room. They didn't have TVs in rooms then. They had a TV room. It was a big room like this, not this big. And one TV, and everybody's in cheering, and I found that room, and I went, that's where Mac is. I just got to do this. Well, the man who mentored me was bold, and I said, just remember his boldness. You can do it too. And so I just had to. I kind of slid around the sidewall little bit by little bit while they were screaming at the TV, and I walked up to the TV, and I turned it off. I turned around in front of the TV, and I said, men, as important as you think this football is, Jesus is what really matters, and I want to tell you about him. Can you believe I did that? I hope you don't, because I didn't do that. It was just one more night of me standing in the back room saying, Lord, I know he's in there, but I don't know what to do, and I went home. But, you know, at least there was persistence, and you keep going after it, and you keep going after it. And you find you that, you get you, all right, I've got the mindset, and I've got the location now. I've got the workshop. There's one last thing, and this is what gets me pumped. Tool set. You got to have a culturally relevant tool set. And once you get the tool set, you're going to be set. All right? I'm convinced of that. So I want you to come back next week, next session, and we'll cover that in the next one. I'm going to ask you if you would like to get one of these four booklets, get them this week at the bookstore, same cost and so forth, either place. But we're going to have those answers and all back there for you. I hope you'll start there, and that God's going to use you in a great way. Get your little prayer list, and then let's watch this army go to work. If you can find somebody to come to IF, start praying. Lord, would you give me somebody? And if he doesn't, fine. If he does, invite him. If not, just come without. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for our time. Thank you for your goodness to let us continue to contemplate this whole area of becoming missional. I pray that we're going to get in spiritual shape like we've never been in. I pray, Father, in addition to the word that we're probably all taking in to some great degree, I pray, Father, that we might now add this missional living, and we're going to watch something very, very unique happen in our lives and through our lives. May your kingdom come. May this army here and generations to come account for thousands upon thousands who come to faith through the people we reach, and then they reach, and then that the next generation reaches. So God bless, we pray, in the great name of our Savior Jesus. Amen.